That we could bow our heads and pray together. Eternal Father, we do quiet our hearts here before you this morning. We worship you, Father. We thank you for the things which we have already heard this morning. We thank you for this, it's the power of your word, Father, the power of your salvation, power of your spirit here upon the earth, Father. We thank you for all that you are doing, and we open our hearts to you this morning, Father, and ask that you would continue to work in our lives. You would continue to help us, Father, be what you'd have us to be here as your church here upon the earth. We pray for your blessing upon this service. We pray for your blessing upon each heart. We pray that you would just lead, guide, and direct here, and that your name could be exalted, Father, and your ways could be lifted up. Your truth would be preeminent in our lives, Father. We pray for that this morning. Pray that you'd continue to help us in these ways. Thank you for each one that's here. We pray now for your blessing upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's a joy to be gathered with you all this morning. Welcome to each one. Joy to have you all here this morning with us, Brian. We it's a blessing to be together this morning. We not being here Wednesday evening and Friday morning makes it seem like kind of a long week. So I'm thankful to see everyone this morning. We had had scheduled a trip to Haiti to spend some time with Brother Barry. And before we went, we forget the exact timing of things. We were planning, I was planning to go. And the kidnapping happened. And we got word that 17 of the missionaries were kidnapped, and violence had ramped up pretty much and wasn't really all that safe to go to Haiti. And and then I started questioning whether or not we should be going to Haiti, and everyone around me started questioning about whether or not we should go to Haiti, and didn't know what to do with all that, didn't know how what was wisdom. Going to Haiti would force Brother Barry to have to come to the airport, and what was the right thing to do. And I, in the midst of all that turmoil, Brother Brian said, if you go to Haiti, I'll go with you. And Barry said he thinks we should come. And so we had a minister's meeting over that time, and had some other people advising me not to go to Haiti, and so that presented quite a bit of turmoil. And so anyway, we ended up going to Haiti, and I'll never forget that little excursion to Haiti, and it was a blessing. Remember that, yeah. Anyway, thank you for being here this morning. We had a blessed few days. I was encouraged again with the power. Just again, seeing the power of the Word of God. The power of what the Word of God will do when it's preached in faith and it is received in faith, and how that lives will change. And it is not has not been a lot of my experience in life, there's a tendency for us to feel like when we go and preach the Word of God, we don't always see things happen, and many times don't have the experience of knowing what God did with it. And we had some opportunity this time to have some of that, and it was tremendously encouraging. To hear people say, I had never heard before, and when I heard, I believed, and it worked. And it was so encouraging. With that encouragement, it increased the burden in my heart, because I also realized with that while that is happening, and while there are those who are experiencing salvation and whose lives are being changed, while that is happening, there are many there are many who are not finding that, and there are many who struggle to actually believe, many who struggle to just simply believe in God, and it has so much to do with the home that they grew up in. The examples that they have seen and the experiences that they have had make it almost impossible for them to hear and believe the gospel. And that blinding that Brother Barry talked about is oftentimes that is many times the reason for it. We talk a lot about churches where there is a form of godliness and there is no power. But we do realize, I suppose, that the reason the church is that way is because the homes are that way. The church is simply a reflection of the home. There will be no more power in the church than there is in the homes that are there. And so that increased a burden in me. We've been preaching a few messages here, doing a little series on the home, and kind of impromptu or whatever, if you will, as there's been some requests for it. And so before this was planned, I think Brother Steve had a message for youth. Even before we talked about doing this, it seemed like the leading of the Lord. And then I had a message that was calling the fathers. Brother Barry had a message last week on child training. But this morning, so the burden this morning is... I'd like to, some of this, or at least in part, the burden probably this morning was a message for the mothers, but it's a message about the home. And there is a part of me that feels like if husbands and fathers' hearts turn towards home and they get a vision, that it will happen automatically, that the sisters will embrace that and engage in that and will put their all into that. It seems to me that would just happen organically, if you will, and I think it does many times. And so if we speak a little bit to the sisters today, I I would like to ask us as husbands, what is our vision for our wives, for the sisters, for the mothers? What is our vision? We have in the world today many women who do not find fulfillment at home. They find they are looking for it elsewhere, and I believe many times it's because that's what they believe their husband is expecting. Many times it's because they don't believe that their husband is maybe his heart is elsewhere too. So I think I shared some of that with in the last message. But picture with me. It just broke my heart. But to hear a young man say that he's 25 years old now, but to hear a young man say that just growing up in a home where there was so much anger and so much discouragement, and he, for whatever reason, maybe because the family is somewhat outcast and somewhat not the in on the in crowd, that he was mocked at school, that he was and some of the name calling and that at 18 or 19 years old attempts suicide, and the Lord spared him. The Lord saved him out of a home. But what about his siblings? What about the rest? Unable, maybe many times, unable to find God, unable to imagine that God is because of the picture that they've seen at home. But picture with me, a household that is just wholehearted. Just picture with me where the joy of the Lord is there. The father and mother together, the children are all in. There's this encouragement, with a vision for serving the Lord. That's what we do. That's why we're here. That's what it's about. We know what our purpose is. It's clear. We're not wondering why we're here, but our goals are, we have goals. There's love here. We're learning. We're learning together. That's what life is all about, is learning. It's maybe a family that's being stretched together. Getting it, there's new things happening and there's some stretching going on. Even though there's tough times, a family like that, when times get tough, it bands together. Everyone's needed. We need to be on board because it's tough. It's difficult. That's how growth happens. That's how growth happens. Just picture that with me. We care about revival and we care about evangelism, and that's a burden. That's our calling. That's why we're here. But in the midst of all that, our children, bringing them along. Let's get a scripture here from Psalm 78. I appreciated those thoughts this morning about faith. The normal is, and this is what everyone will tell you, this is just how it is. The normal is revival and then apostasy. That's the normal. Everyone will tell you that's how it goes. And except we have faith that that's not the will of God, if that's our faith, that's what we will surely experience, I would say. According to your faith, be it unto you. Here is the vision of the Lord in Psalm 78. I appreciate this passage. Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and have known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he hath commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Thank you. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So here we have this picture of a multi-generational, and I would just say that this is the heart of God. This is the plan of God. And I think we should just believe that. It is not God's vision. It is not God's heart. Why would it be that way? Is just a question. I think we should ask ourselves, why would it be that way? It only is that way if the chain is broken. When someone loses their way, and those coming after do the same. But listening to these testimonies and listening to the is such a joy to see people come to find the Lord. It's such a joy. But the broken homes, how can it be? Churches where the Bible is read. Churches that have Bibles in their homes. How can it be? Angry fathers. Disconnection. I'd like to speak this morning on the powerful influence of a godly mother. The powerful influence of a godly mother. And I preach this morning as a blessing to the sisters in this room. The vision that you have, the burden that you have. I don't feel like this is a corrective message or in that way. But I would like to reinforce a vision this morning. There's a lot of pressure in this world against the role of motherhood. And I think the role of motherhood is absolutely essential to humanity itself. Even to humanity itself would cease to exist if it were not for God's plan. And we see this around us as so clearly. The breakdown of society as children are abandoned and children are deserted, children are neglected to a more or lesser level, and society itself is breaking down because of it. Righteousness is fallen in the streets, and it has a lot to do with this. And of course, the church then follows that as well. So, a few disclaimers here. I know we have young people here, and this doesn't mean God does not have plans for those who don't get married. God does certainly have plans for those who do not find the leading of marriage. And so we may not have time to cover all that today. Maybe we can do that another time. And also, not all who do get married have children, and God has plans for that as well. So, yeah, we are this morning endeavoring to reinforce this a vision for mothers. We live in a world where Satan has twisted things tremendously, many things, and women are presented everywhere as the object of lust, and it is a horrible distortion of the plan of God. A horrible distortion, and it is no wonder. It is no wonder then that women everywhere are trying to find worth, trying to find value, trying to find something that would make them valuable, or whether that be in beauty or trying to find some sort of self-esteem. And that is the thing that many times provokes them to try to find a job, earn an income, try to do something that will make me valuable or that will make me of worth. And it's a terrible distortion of the plan of God. We need to come back to the scriptures. Does it impact us? I believe it can. I believe it can. Maybe it has. I do see in Anabaptist churches sisters who feel like they should seek an occupation, and many times it's not out of necessity. It's not out of that the home has a need. It would seem to be something else. And I'm not speaking here of a sister who is engaging in a family business or helping with a family, if there's a family business or family occupation. Realize there's homes vary, and not every home functions the same. But I would suggest to us as brothers that we would see what a woman's role is and the powerful influence that it has in our homes, and that we would not unduly set things up in a way that will largely distract them from that either, unnecessarily. I realize that not every home functions the same, but does it impact us? Sisters, how do you feel when you're filling out a legal form and it asks for your occupation? How do you feel? And you write homemaker. Just a homemaker. God forbid. God forbid. It's ungodly. It's an ungodly influence that puts that pressure on someone who's been called to be a mother. It's an ungodly influence. I think it ought to be the greatest of joys. Homemaker. God's called me to that. And if God's called you to motherhood, do you have a calling? I'd like to encourage you with that. Brother Barry read Psalm 128 and 129 last Sunday. We'd like to read them again this morning. Psalm 128, or 127 and 128, that is. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And we, most generally, these verses are read in a message to the men, to fathers. And I'd like for us to read them this morning in light of motherhood. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You are blessed this morning if the Lord has given you little ones to take care of. It is an heritage of the Lord. I would be unable to this morning to express in words the gift of a little child that you get to hold in your arms and to pour your labors into, if we could say it that way. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem with all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. This thought here of olive plants, thy children like olive plants around thy table. I don't know if you've ever done a study on this thought of olive plants, but An olive tree in Judea, in Israel at the time of this, but an olive tree was something of great value to a family. A family that had olive trees on its property would have olives that they could press into oil, and oil was valuable. Oil has always been valuable. Oil is used for lamps, for light, to produce light. Olive trees, a little bit of study, but olive trees don't grow very fast. Olive trees take a number of years of nurturing before they produce fruit. We could make application to all those things here to children. But olive trees, when they get old, they live maybe several generations, but when they get old, they shoot up new shoots that can carry on this value. And so olive trees is a good illustration here for this. Thy children will be like olive plants. It is your children that will take your heritage or take your name on to the next generation. You will not do that. They will do that. I was thinking here of these olives producing light in a dark world. That these olives being pressed and making oil that produces light. And I was it's such a powerful illustration when we think of our children and in the world in which we live. That godly children, it's a light to this world. They can't help but see it. So our message here this morning, it may not be all that long, but the powerful influence of a godly mother. And I would like to say, maybe in starting here, before we go on here, some of us are sitting here and maybe we grew up in a home like the one I described. Maybe our home was more like that. And I would just like to say this morning that even in light of all that, you have a lot to be thankful for. There are children who are left to die on the street, abandoned by their mothers. And your mother didn't do that. You had a mother, most of us, I would say maybe all of us, as far as I know, had a mother who physically cared for them, who endeavored to provide for physical needs. And maybe they simply did the best that they knew how. And we have a lot to be thankful for. All of us have a lot to be thankful for. But this morning, we are interested in Christian homes. Amen? We're interested in Christian homes. We're interested in a home that rises above that. The powerful influence of a godly mother. I have some points here this morning, but the influence of a mother that is devoted, a mother that has a personal devotion to God. Think with me the impact of a godly sister who's walking with God day by day, and it may not seem like big things happening. It may not seem like huge things happening every day and great transformative things happening every day that we can lay our finger on. But think with me the impact of little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how everything grows in this world, right? Slowly, almost imperceptibly, trees grow. You can stand there and watch, and you don't really see anything happening. Well, if you come back next year, something has happened. Think with me the powerful impact of a sister that's walking in the Spirit, simply walking in the Spirit day by day. Walking with God, loving God, all those hours when daddy might be away from home at his job, doing what he needs to do. Think with me, that sister that longs for holiness, that lives in the pursuit of righteousness, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of life is not easy. Life is not easy at work. Life is not easy at home. Life is not necessarily easy. But think with me, the powerful influence of just simply faithfulness, simply a devoted life, think of the, the whole world knows. The whole world knows that faithfulness in investments leads to accumulation. If you will commit to investing a certain amount every day or every week or every month, and you will do that over a number of 20 years, it will accumulate. Not only is there accumulation of what you put in, but there's an additional accumulation of interest or whatever, and the growth that comes. The whole world knows that. And I think we should have a vision for that in our homes, that daily investment of godliness, that mother that teaches her children to sing, that sings when things are getting difficult, the mother that just demonstrates joy in the trials of life, the accumulative influence of that over 20 years, you get 20, maybe 20, 22, 25 years. The scripture says they won't depart from it. Train up a child the way he should go, and he'll not depart from it. I think we should just believe that. I think we should believe that. We have an example in the scriptures of we could read in 1 Samuel. We have this example of a mother that prayed for a son. I love this example. I wonder if there's more to the story than what the Bible says. I believe there could very well be. There usually is. Most stories are pretty abbreviated in Scripture. I believe there could be more to the story than what the Bible says. But it says here that this woman, and we read this in 1 Samuel, this woman, Hannah, who didn't have a son, didn't have a child, and it was a disgrace to her. And she began to pray, and she began to seek God, and she began to cry out to God. And she went to the temple, and we know the story. I'm not going to take time to read it here. But she made this vow, and she said that if God would give me a son, I would give him back to God. I would bring him back to God. And I have wondered, as I read this account, I have wondered, was it just the disgrace that was on her heart? Or was it that she saw a need in Israel? Her husband served at the temple, and the temple was fallen. Eli and his sons were bringing disgrace upon Israel. I don't know. I don't know. But I just imagine that was on her heart as she cried out to God. This may be imaginary. I don't know. If God would give me a son, I would raise a man for Israel. I would raise a man for Israel. Did you see a need in Israel? I would bring him back to the Lord. I would let him serve in this temple. Her husband was in the priesthood there. But this godly woman, this godly woman raised up one of the most powerful leaders of Israel. Her son, she named him Samuel, which means for this child I prayed. But a devoted mother who at a young age brought her son back to the temple to raise up one of the great prophets. I'd like to encourage our sisters here. I'd like to encourage them. I'd just like to encourage, you know, it can seem mundane. It can seem like, you know, just the little things. We're just taking care of the house. It's just the daily chores. It's just it's just mundane. But that's not what it is. We're raising up the leaders of the next generation. Raising up men and women that will walk with God. I think we need to have a vision for it. We need to have a burden for it. Lest our children become the next mission field. I'd like to just inspire us this morning. I don't have a lot of correction for you all, but those hours of labor, it's not the same. The gospel can go out to someone who was raised in the gutter, someone who was raised in Chicago, and the gospel can reach him, and he can be raised up. And He can be changed and transformed, and he can walk with God. And that's all true. We believe in that. But that's not the plan for our families. That's not God's plan for our families. God's plan for our families is here in Psalm 78, where it says that fathers and mothers should teach the oracles of God to the next generation, that they would rise up and teach it to the following generation, and that they would rise up and teach it to the generation that comes after them. I think we should be excited about it. You cannot overstate the powerful influence of a godly mother who is daily devoted to walking with God. The impact, the accumulative impact that will have on children and young people. They'll be unable to ever leave that. They'll be unable to ever to deny that, leave that in their mentally is what I mean there. Devotion. I'd like to say here that the next one I have here, that a mother with true submission in her heart will have a tremendous impact on children. Children need to learn submission. It's just how it is. We all do. They can never be leaders unless they learn submission. They can never be leaders unless they learn submission. And the powerful impact of seeing that in mother's life, of seeing that in a sister's in their mother's life. And it's this thing that this principle almost completely lost in society. Almost completely lost. Men are not submissive, and the women are not either. And everyone is just fighting their way through. It's in the brokenness of that. It just breaks my heart. But a woman, a sister that will embrace the calling of God, that will understand that will understand in her heart the way that God has set it up, the way that God has ordained it. A woman that will understand that. And that will not feel this burden or this desire or this feel this need to manipulate her husband so that it goes the way that I think it should go. After all, I kind of know how it should go. A sister that is just set free from that, that just trusts God. God, this man is head over me, and I believe that Christ is his head. And I will trust you with that. I will trust you with that. I will come under. I will support. I will pray for. I will engage in the vision that you give us as a home. That you for us brothers to push our the wives aside, and that's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a united marriage. But a sister, a woman, a mother who has in her heart embraced that fully. I believe it's vital. I believe it's vital that for children that grow up in a home where that has not happened struggle to learn submission because they don't see it. They learn by seeing this, by seeing it lived out. A woman that supports, that prays for, that serves, that loves, will do far more. Will do, it is not possible for me to state it, but it will do far more than manipulating, controlling, trying to, and I believe it happens. It has, I have seen this in life, seen it in my past, and it can happen so subtly. I don't know how to say it. It can happen in a way that, except there's a discernment, there's maybe not even a knowledge that it's happening. But I've seen in my past where women were, in very plain settings, women were running the church. It was with some discernment, it could easily be seen. I understand that the reason sometimes, usually the reason that they feel that need to do that is because men are not leading. I understand that. I understand that can be the, and not every home functions exactly the same. Our wives are given to us as a helpmeet, and not every home functions exactly the same in all of that. But I believe that it's just a principle that needs to be deep in mother's heart, that I'm submitted, that I long to submit. I want to be there. That's how I want this to function from my heart. Has a huge impact on children and them being able to follow that and to do that. The powerful influence of a godly mother in the area of service. You know, and again, we're feel like I'm speaking to things that you all know. I'm just seeking to reinforce it here this morning. But it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing in children's lives when they see that mother loves to serve. She finds fulfillment in it. She's not looking for other things to fulfill her. And she helps them to learn that too. She teaches them that in a Christ-like way. I do feel like, you know, and we'll speak about this later, but in our settings many times, the physical aspect of this serving has been taught. Mothers do engage in caring for the family and taking care of the home, and I think we should be thankful for all that. But there's so much more. But there's so much more. A mother that has embraced the vision that we are part of a greater plan. We serve here. This isn't about me and me setting up my home and me gaining a reputation by what I do. But we're part of a greater plan. We are servants of the Most High, and that's why we do what we do. And the daily tasks, the daily responsibilities are a joy because it's all part of something greater. It's part of something big. But I think it has the potential just powerfully impact the children. that we find fulfillment in serving. It's a denying of ourselves. It's putting aside selfishness. There's a lot that could be shared on this. I was thinking of the scripture, and I was going to look for it, and maybe someone could find it for me. There's a scripture that where Paul writes about someone's home. Can't think of the name right now, but he says this: they have addicted themselves to the ministry. They're addicted to the ministry. Maybe someone could find that for me. If someone knows where it is. But I think of that. I think of a mother that is inspired in that way. That this isn't about me. It's not about building a home that impresses others. But our house, our home, is just a channel of serving. Just to have a vision for it. It will have a powerful impact on the children's worldview, if that makes sense. On the worldview of the children. We're not building our own kingdom. We're not trying to set this up so everything's just right for me. We're not doing that. We're here, we're part of serving. When I think of some of the things that we were told over the last few days, and it's the strangest of things that we should have to talk about. It is, but it isn't. But the powerful impact of a home where there's love. Where there's love. I don't know. And again, all of these principles, all of these things, they apply to us as men as well. We had a message for the men. But I probably struggle to maybe put this into words. Just the burden. A home where there's love, where there's relationship, there's togetherness, there is friendship. I marvel at this. I marvel at hearing these accounts. I mean, these children, they learned how to work hard. They learned life skills. They learned how to do so many things. But at age 14, 15, 16, 17, they're having to be sent to counseling because they're depressed, discouraged. Some of us can relate to that. But a home where there's love, there's acceptance, there's friendship, there's enjoying each other. There's blessing, there's affirmation, I don't know how to put it into words. What are the words that we should be using here? There's teamwork. We're doing this together. We're in it together. And we do it for the glory of God. That's our vision. That's our purpose. We're glorifying God together. But a mother who will have a vision for a home where there's love, where there's peace, there's joy, if there's weeds in the garden that don't get pulled this week because we sat down on the porch to spend some time talking, then praise the Lord. Drive through Lancaster County and farm after farm, garden after garden, they look perfect.
I mean, there's no weed. The plants are this high. The tomatoes, they look twice the size of our tomatoes, plants. And the yards are immaculate, and the homes are neat and tidy, and it's picture perfect. God help us. Yeah, my dad went to counseling. I got 16, I went to counseling. Love. The love of God in our homes. You all know what I'm talking about. This is a burden. Psalm 1, we'd like to bring this to a close. Psalm 113. And again, am I saying that that's the case in every home? I'm not. I realize there may be many homes where things are not that way. I'm not trying to make blanket statements. I'm just warning us of what can happen. But Psalm 113, verse 9. I'd like to talk a little bit about joy. Psalm 113, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The powerful influence of a joyful mother. Maybe that's a little too high. Maybe that's a little too lofty. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think us as brothers should be thinking about our responsibility in this matter. That the sisters can be joyful. I think us brothers should be thinking about that. Because the scripture says that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Where the Lord is. A mother with a song, a mother that can sing even when it's difficult. You know, maybe this sets the standard a little too high, but I don't think it does. Joy comes from having the presence of the Lord in our homes. Joy does not come from having everything always neat and tidy. Joy does not come from having the work all done by 5 o'clock in the evening. That's not what brings joy. If those are the things that bring joy, we will probably lack it much of the time. Joy comes from having the presence of the Lord in our lives. And all of us can have it. And I think as brothers, we should be taking this seriously as brothers. We should be taking some responsibility in this matter. However, I think it starts with a vision. I think it starts with a vision. And I think we should be thinking about the influence, the powerful influence of a mother that for 20 years, for 20 or 25 years in a child's life, the whole time it's growing up, there's this influence of joy. I think we should get a vision for it. It's not because everything always went right, not because, supper never got burned, not because, the hailstorm didn't sometimes take out the garden, not because of any of that, but because we have God in our home. And therefore there's joy. Therefore there's joy. Think of the powerful influence of having that for 20 years, 25 years. Mother that, a child that from the time it's a little baby has been hearing mom sing. I just think we just need to get a vision. I'd like to bless my dear wife. recall her teaching our children songs sitting in the high chair. She has more to do with their singing ability than I do. I'd like to bless her for taking time of taking a passage of scripture and putting a tune to it so they can sing it together and they sing it together. Encouraging our children to sing. Well, thank you for that. My message here today is not corrective. It's visionary. It's to inspire us with vision. A mother that is contented will have a huge impact on the children. Contentment. Contented mom equals contented children. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and that applies great gain in children's lives. I think we could apply it that way. A mother that finds fulfillment in her role in life, that is excited about it. I know what the will of God is for my life, and that gives me joy. I don't have to wonder what it is. It's very obvious. He has given me children. So I know what His will is for my life. May there be other things that He'll add to it, yes. May there be other doors to possibly minister to the neighbor or whatever that could be, other doors He may open. That's very possible. But I don't need those to find fulfillment. I don't need any of that to find fulfillment. Yes, I think it's a blessing if sisters pray for the lost, pray for evangelism, they pray for the church. I believe that's all a great blessing. But I don't need to be involved in evangelism or anything else to be fulfilled and excited and have joy. Contentment. We have God. We're in the will of God. We're excited about the vision that God has for the home. We're excited about it. We have a tremendous pressure that's come against this vision. Even in the church, many times. Even in the church. So we'd like to bring it to a close here. I know there's just so much more that could be said. I'd like to say this in closing. Many times when this isn't the way it is, it does reflect on the husband many times. I'm not saying always, but husbands, love your wives. If your wife knows that you love her, if she knows that you love this vision, God's vision for a home and for her role, if she knows that you love that, that you care deeply about it, and that you will endeavor to help her fulfill it, that is part of your responsibility, and that you will that you are all in. You're not expecting something else from her. You're not expecting her to be an evangelist or something. If God opens doors for her to do that, that would be a blessing. That's fine. But your expectation of her, you are excited about her being the mother of your children. I think it goes a long way to inspiring the sisters. Found this old poem that I'd like to read here. It's very familiar. Most of you would know it, or at least you would know two lines of it. but it's a four stanza poem. It says, blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission. Here upon our natal sod, oh keep the young heart opened, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with worship from the in the sky. Rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I'd like to close with that. May the Lord bless you. The Lord bless his word this morning.